Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. We'll get back to everyone's phone calls on Nick Sirianni. Should he be on the hot seat as we enter 2026? And Hugh's Clues, pair of tickets giveaway today to the Mylotta Family Foundation launch concert, June 11th at Stateside Live in Philadelphia. And then we got to help Hugh workshop his top 11 list for the afternoon show. All
that. Workshop that thing.
Yeah. How you doing? You feeling good about it?
I feel pretty. Okay. Yeah, not really. Because okay. I omitted somebody and I need to move some things around.
We'll work on that. All right. A lot to do this hour, including talking to our guy Harry Douglas, ESPN Radio, along with Freddie Coleman from NFL wide receiver. He joins us now. I heard Harry last week say Nick Sirianni is on the hot seat for him. And I say, yeah, that's my kind of guy. Harry, how you doing today?
Ken Folk.
I'm doing well. Well, first and foremost, when you bring me into a song that's from one of my favorite movies from 1984, Beverly Hills Cop, Mr. Glenda, he is on.
What's going on, man? How you been?
Man, because I'm doing all right. You know, no complaints. I woke up this morning, I'm breathing. My kids have me running all over the place with their extracurricular activities. But that's what I love about fatherhood. Paying it forward. My father was a great example for me. Now I'm implementing that to my kids. So when they grow up and have kids, they know how it was done. So loving being a father.
No question about that, man. So I have a few questions for you because I always like to talk to you because I know you watch a lot of film and, you know, I know you watched the Eagles last year. Were there times last year, A.J. Brown, did you see him give up in games, number one? And number two is, what do you think he's going to be in New England? Just off just the first glance, what type of receiver you think he's going to be in New England? Is he going to be an impact receiver?
All right, so first I'll start with the Philadelphia Eagles last season. And, you know, I'll be honest, I'm not going to say he gave up in games, but there were moments where you may have seen him probably give up on plays. And I think sometimes that actually comes from not believing in your quarterback 1,000% that they can get you the football and they're going to see everything how the play should be developing. That plays a part in it. But as we're always taught, no matter what the circumstances are, you always expect the ball no matter what's going on. And that should be your mindset. I just think the relationship between A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts became so toxic that it was clear and obvious that both sides just need to part ways. And A.J. Brown go his way, Jalen Hurts revamp things and start things over with the guys that he now has in front of him from a skill position standpoint. And that was the best outcome for Jalen Hurts, for the Philadelphia Eagles, and then also for A.J. Brown. Now, as far as A.J. Brown, I think he's going into a great situation because I do believe Drake May will be the best quarterback that he's played with up until this point.
Uh-oh.
From a arm talent perspective.
Uh-oh.
And from an accuracy standpoint.
Oh, because you cut, Kenfo, you don't know what you're doing. You start some stuff down
let
here.
Let him speak his truth,
all right, in my bag. I digress. Well, the floor is yours.
Yeah, but I tell all the Philadelphia fans, I don't give a damn how they feel. One thing I do know is how a damn quarterback's supposed to throw the football consistently when he drops backs and passes. Now, I didn't say from an overall standpoint. I said from an arm talent perspective and also from an accuracy standpoint. Drake May completed 72% of his passes last year, and I believe it was 30 touchdowns to single-digit interceptions. And one of the things that he does well is throw the deep ball. So now when you look at New England, and one of their deficiencies in the Super Bowl versus the Seattle Seahawks is that their wide receivers couldn't win one-on-one consistently. They went and got Romeo Doubs in free agency. You still have the guys that you had last year outside of Stephon Diggs, and then you now trade for A.J. Brown, a guy that can win those one-on-one contested catches, take a five-yard slant, 75 yards to the house. And then when you look at Romeo Doubs, he can beat you at all three levels as well, short, intermediate, deep. He can catch the ball over the middle of the football field. So they just got two great additions to their wide receiver room on top of a quarterback that's returning with the offensive play calling Josh McDaniels, in which he was second in MVP voting. And if a few people would have voted a different way, he would have won it last season.
Well, he would have. And Harry, I agree with you on that. And now, so AJ's gone. He's out of here. He's the Patriots now. He's with the Patriots. And we have a new receiver room. Harry, I'm curious what you think of what the Eagles have now at wide receiver, specifically if you think DeVonta Smith is ready to take a big leap. And like when I was thinking about this early in the offseason, to me, there's a parallel between last year when the Seattle Seahawks let DK Metcalf go in a trade to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they knew internally Jaxon Smith-Njigba had another gear to him, and he had an incredible season. And Aaron, I'm not saying AJ's going to win Offensive Player of the Year, or excuse me, Devontae, but I do think Devontae could take a big leap as the number one now. Your thoughts on the receiver room without AJ, and do you think Devontae has another gear to his game?
And I'll first start by saying this. Anybody would be crazy just to say right off the bat, the Philadelphia Eagles as an offense, they're going to be better without A.J. Brown. No, there's too much nuance within this offensive system. I don't know why people are questioning Devontae Smith being a number one wide receiver. This is a Heisman Trophy winner. This is a guy that had 1,000 yards in his first season as a wide receiver, or if he didn't have 1,000, I think it was right underneath 1,000. But he's reliable. He can run routes. He can get open for the quarterback. He can win his one-on-one matchup. So it's a no-brainer that he's going to be a number one. I think now, because you don't have an A.J. Brown, Mekhi Lemon is going to have to come along faster, right? I don't think gradually you can say, oh, Mekhi Lemon, it's going to take you 8 or 9 games. No, instantly right now he's going to have to make plays. Dontavian Wicks has been in this offensive system because he comes from Green Bay with Sean Mannion. And then you have a Hollywood Brown that can make plays and Elijah Moore that you can use in a varied of different ways. But they're going to live in 12 personnel, y'all. That's one back, two tight ends, two wide receivers. Dallas Goedert's going to get the football more. Look at where Sean Mannion came from. The number one receiver last year in Green Bay was a tight end before he tore his ACL. Also, I think a matchup nightmare is going to be Eli Stowers. Getting him matched up with stiff safeties and linebackers who feel like they can guard, but the athleticism of Eli Stowers, I think, is going to stand out more. They're going to live in that 12 personnel and gradually work their way. And I was asked this question on SportsCenter the other day, like, what do I feel like the ceiling is for Philadelphia Eagles in their offense? Y'all, we don't know. It's to be determined because you have a new offensive coordinator. The run game's going to be different. Jeff Stoutland's not there. And Jeff Stoutland and the Eagles parting ways, that tells me that they gave full autonomy to Sean Mannion to run this offensive system. This is the first time this is going to happen under Nick Sirianni now. So that's going to be different in itself. But the key to this offense and the totality of it is going to be the run game. They were 18th in rushing last year. That's not going to cut it, especially with the play-action game that they're going to want to run under Sean Mannion. But when they won the Super Bowl, they were 2nd in rushing in the league. That's where you have to get back to, being top 5 running the football.
Harry Douglas with us, former NFL wide receiver, now ESPN Radio, along with Freddie Coleman. All right, Harry, our quota, we have to fill it. We have to ask a Jalen Hurts question, especially because you're an offensive guy. So here's my question about Jalen Hurts. Harry, this system is a departure from how Jalen has played football in the NFL, which has been he holds the ball for a long time and he makes plays. And he's made a lot of them, and they've won a lot of games with him. But this offense, from the iterations we've seen, Green Bay and Los Angeles, San Francisco, the quarterback's got to throw the ball with some anticipation, some timing. How long do you think it might take Jalen to feel comfortable playing offense the way Sean Mannion wants his quarterback to play?
See, that's the thing. Everyone is just saying, how long is it going to take Jalen Hurts? Y'all, this is a new offensive system for everybody for the Philadelphia Eagles in their offense. It's going to take the entire group. They're going to have some bumps in the road early on. So they're going to have to gradually, work their way into this thing. And if it doesn't look right early on, don't go in panic mode. That's natural. Defenses are always ahead because they can adapt to things faster than offense, because you can have 9 guys mess up on defense and 2 guys do the right thing and the play is successful. You can't have 1 guy mess up on offense because the play will be derailed. So I do believe it's going to take some time. But to Jalen Hurts' credit, he's going to have a full offseason understanding what the offensive system going into a season is going to be, being under center, knowing that he has to throw the football in the middle of the football field, versus trying to adapt to something differently in the middle of the season and change things up. So that's what I do like it, and I'm interested to see what it's going to look like, because he has a full offseason from start to finish on what he knows this offensive system is going to be, being under center, utilizing play action, turning his back to the defense, and having to make throws across the middle of the football field.
Harry, it's been great talking to you here. Let's do it again before the season starts. This was fun. Great getting your insight. Thank you, Harry.
Definitely appreciate you, Kim, folk.
Nah, sounds good to me. Tell Big Cuz you just hit me up, and I'm going to answer the dial.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate hearing you from him.
There he is, Harry Douglas, ESPN Radio, former NFL wide receiver there. Came right at you with the Drake May stuff. I mean, it came right at you.
All I'm saying is, I was just letting you know, you say that in Philly, people are going to get upset.
You know, I like me. He's like, I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, but that's Harry in a nutshell. Yeah. His last name is Douglas, yeah. So you know that's...
He's also right. I mean, from an arm talent perspective, May.
No, I mean, I heard him when he said it. Yeah. I didn't disagree with him, but I just knew, like, people didn't want to hear that. You know what I mean? Because it's not saying that Jalen's bad. It's just saying that he just throws the ball better. That's it.
People are babies. Like, if you were to say in L.A. that Jalen's a better runner as a quarterback than Matt Stafford is,
well, obviously
nobody would push back.
Well, it's just
like
just,
Drake May is a better passer. Yeah. That's okay, guys.
Well, it is. Well, here's why there's the sensitivity AJ chose that quarterback over this quarterback. It's all Jalen sensitivity. I mean, that's what this whole thing is. All right, 215-592-9494. Hughes Clues for your chance to win a pair of tickets. My Lotta Family Foundation launch concert on June 11th, Stateside Live in Philadelphia. We will help Hugh workshop his top 11 list coming up. Is it Xavier or Xavier? Let's ask him. Xavier in Tampa. Am I getting it right?
I'll answer to either one because I'm so hot. Okay. I do not understand the vitriol that our city has for our QB1. This is ridiculous. And we're talking about Drake May? Mm-hmm. Drake May, who had 4 interceptions and 4 lost fumbles during his playoff run last year? Are we serious right now? As far as deep ball, Jalen Hurts got the best deep ball in the freaking NFL. What are we talking about?
He did, but he didn't have a good one last year. Didn't throw a good deep ball last season.
Look, I don't get it. Okay, so my question is, who are we going to get if we get rid of Hurts? Who are we going to if we get rid of him?
I mean, a lot of options. I don't know. Not sure where they're going to go.
No, I want a name. Tell me. Y'all are the experts. Tell me who we're going to get if we get rid of her.
You want to, all right, Xavier, you want to workshop this, Xavier? I'll give you some options. There's like 6 first-round quarterbacks in next year's draft. So that's option number one. And if they have to move off of Hurts, the most likely thing is they draft a cheap quarterback. Xavier, that's most likely where they go. Other options would be a veteran that is on the market, or they try to make a huge blockbuster trade for a great quarterback that asks out of his team. I mean, it's got to be one of those options.
Right. So everybody can tell you how to do it, but they never did it, right? Man, I don't get it. I'm living down here in Tampa. Look, I'm living down here in Tampa, and I have to defend. I have to tell Tampa why our city is so against our quarterback when they would love to have a quarterback like Jalen Hurts. I don't get it. And come on, you are disappointing me.
Why? Before I let you have it, Xavier, I'm gonna let you explain what did I say that you were disappointed in that? Because it's obvious you didn't understand anything I said. But what did you hear that disappointed you?
No, I do understand it. You sat up here and let Harry Douglas get on the freaking line and talk bad about our quarterback. Really?
Xavier, let me stop you right there. You know why I did that? You want to know why I did that?
Why?
Because Harry Douglas played receiver in the National Football League. Guess what position I played? I played defensive end. So I'm going to let Harry talk because Harry knows more about the position in the NFL that he played than I do. So when you let me finish. Because there's a thing in this league called respect. Just like when Ike talk about linebackers that play in the NFL, I defer to Ike because he played linebacker. Harry Douglas played receiver in the NFL. Xavier, no disrespect, but did you play receiver in the NFL?
No, I didn't. But
let me finish, Xavier, because this is the fact. Like, you're allowed to have your opinion. But when you come at me and you talk to me like you're disappointed in something that I said because I defer to somebody that knows more than I do, that's like you arguing with your doctor about a diagnosis that you don't like, and he's the damn doctor.
That's really good.
You see what I'm saying? And now when you come at me and talk about you're disappointed in me, it's irritating because I'm listening to the doctor. In this analogy, Harry Douglas is a doctor. He's the doctor talking about an analysis that he sees. So if you're disappointed in that, go ask another doctor, receiver, and see what he has. Say, go ask Jason Avant or somebody else. Because I've sat in this chair, and I've heard Jason Avant say something similar.
Yep.
To what Harry has said. So what I'm trying to say is this. You're entitled to your opinion. I can't take that away from you. But don't come at me like you're disappointed at me because I allowed somebody that knows more than I do have an opinion about something that they know more about than I do. You feel me?
You know what? I understand and I acknowledge what you're saying. Maybe it's just me that
you're in your feelings. You get out of your feelings. Because listen, let me tell you what I'm doing when I sit in this chair, Xavier. I'm going to spit facts to you that the way that I see it. You don't have to agree with it. Me and Joe sit here and argue every day about stuff that me and him don't agree with. But we still have respect for one another. That's all I'm asking for, brother, in this situation. You don't have to agree with what I'm saying, but I got more knowledge than you do when it comes to this.
Yes, you do. And so if it came across as me trying to be disrespectful towards you, it wasn't that. I guess I'm just looking at it from the standpoint that I actually, look, I watch you. I'm a huge fan of yours. Like, I love you, brother. And I just can't understand the vitriol that we have.
Yeah, Xavier, let me interject. There's not the vitriol. Like, can we grow up, Xavier? We are grown-ups talking about a game. They're football players. He didn't play well last year. Can we just be honest? He didn't play well last year. When a player doesn't play well in the NFL and they are an expensive player, there is a legitimate discussion that the team will try to find a cheaper alternative. This isn't rocket science, and we don't have to cry about it.
It was all on him?
You're changing the conversation. Did he play well last year? Just answer it yes or no. And don't give me a heads that it was everyone else's fault. Did he play well?
He could have played better.
He didn't play well, Xavier. He didn't play well. So his future is in question. We don't have to get all sensitive about it, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He didn't play well. The offense sucked. What do you mean you don't get it? Did the offense suck? Did the offense suck?
It wasn't because of him. This man has had, seven different coordinators? Look, we all know the narrative. I don't get it. Yeah, Nick Sirianni's on the hot seat. Now it hurts. I can't do it.
Okay, well, I think they're both on the hot seat.
Paul Sirianni's on his win, though.
Yeah, well, that's how the whole thing works. All right. We good, Xavier, or no?
We good?
Yeah, I guess we good.
All right, we're good then. We're good. I'm glad we finished it out. We're good. Are you call again? All
everyone
right.
Hold hands.
Yeah, we're good.
No, I mean, we're good. It's just
I just want to make sure he was good.
No, I mean, and I didn't mean it. I didn't mean to yell, but it's irritating because people act like I'm sitting here like I have an axe to grind with Jalen because he struck me out in a softball game. It's not what the hell I'm on.
Now,
I'm
here. I will say, because you brought that up, people are going to think it's now in the back
but,
of your head.
But this is how, listen, I'm going to say this with all due respect, and I'm not talking about Xavier, but this is how stupid some of y'all are. I sit here every day, and I talk about the feeling about what I see and how I interpret certain things. Harry Douglas came on here today and talked about what he sees. Harry watches a lot of film. He's always been like that. And I knew he would come on here and be honest about what he sees. And that's what he sees. If you don't like it, then how about this? With all due respect, go play in the National Football League and then see exactly what he's talking about.
You brought up Jason. He kind of reminds me of Jason in some ways. Yes, they have similar careers.
They are avid film watchers.
Yes, yes.
They are great route runners. You know,
That's how they made their career. Yeah.
They might not have had the physical attributes of a Julio Jones or A.J. Brown or something like this. But when they talk about certain things, just like Urban Fryer, I'll sit here and I'll say something about receivers. And if Rev's listening, Rev will correct me. Mm-hmm. And I will come back and I will correct myself because Rev played the game at a high level. Who am I to tell? Because we were arguing about route running. And I said something about routes. And Rev said, hey, man, he doesn't run great routes. He said he does not run great routes. And I stopped pushing back because this is a man who ran routes his whole life. So what do I look like telling Urban Fryer that he don't know what he's talking about running routes? That's just like me telling Harry Douglas he don't know what he's talking about playing receiver. Yeah. That's just like you telling me, some folks, that I don't know what I'm talking about when we talk about playing. You know how stupid you sound?
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I'm saying you can have an opinion, but when you talk about getting mad about my opinion or what I see, you sound stupid.
Well, also, like, we invited them on as a guest. You just want to hear from a different perspective.
Yeah. Like everybody, we sit here in a space and everybody's entitled to their opinion. But if it's something that you don't like, don't get mad because you don't like it. Hell, listen to it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Just listen to what's being said. Ain't nobody got no damn axe to grind against nobody?
Why would Harry Douglas have an axe to grind?
Yeah, he just on here telling you what he see.
Yeah. It's and you, I think it's a fair question you ask. Like, how do you think AJ is going to do? We all wonder that, right? Like,
yeah, and he broke it down because he's talking about somebody who can still use his body, probably not as fast, but can still use his body to make play.
The other thing I thought was interesting, I don't think it should absolve AJ because he's a professional and he wasn't good enough last year. But Hugh, when he brought the perspective of a receiver, when you asked about him quitting, right? AJ not giving 100%, and he said, you know, sometimes when you're a receiver and the ball's not out on time,
you don't believe in it. It's a trust
you
thing.
You lose trust that your quarterback's going to do the right thing. So maybe you subconsciously or maybe it was consciously stop giving your all.
It's a trust thing. When a quarterback is when his stats are on the line, and if he know you're not going to get open, he ain't throwing the ball to you.
And it works both ways.
Or if you're going to drop the ball, he's not going to throw it to you.
And then if you're a receiver and you think the ball is supposed to be there at a certain spot and it's not, you start to get frustrated.
Yeah. Because I remember hearing stories about with Peyton Manning, and he was telling he would yell at his receivers, "Hey, if I tell you there's a nickel out there in the grass, you better go out there and find it," or something crazy he would say. But that's the type of rapport you have to have with the receivers that you're working with, because your livelihood is tethered to what he catches and doesn't catch.
Of course.
So I get it, but hey, you know, I didn't play receiver, so I'm always defer to the receiver when he tells me something about actually catching the damn football.
Well, I enjoy talking to Harry. All right, 215-592-9494. That was lively. That was a fun segment. I think it was a good.
No, I mean, and I'm not mad at Xavier. It's just it gets frustrating when people hear like it's being negative. You're an analyst.
Yeah. Well, can we not do the vitriol thing too?
Yeah. I mean, grow up. We're grown ups. All right. You can hop in on all this. We started the show today with the idea of Sirianni. I think Sirianni belongs in the hot seat to start this year. Hugh thinks it's more on Jalen. I think they're both on the hot seat as we go into the season. All right. Another clue as well when we come back. Another clue for Hugh's Clues. And we're workshopping our top 11 list for the afternoon show's top 11 next week. I've submitted mine. Kyle's got his basically locked down. We're going to help Hugh out. And I do believe there's one thing we all should agree on when it comes to the top 11. We'll hit that next. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.